Okay, and now we are headed to the Hammer, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, to speak with Peg French. Hi, Peg.
Hi, Terry.
Welcome. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
I love having you in these chats. Can you tell us a bit about yourself?
So, I recently returned to Mohawk from a secondment with Terry Green at eCampus Ontario, and I moved briefly back into the Centre for Teaching and Learning, and now I have bounced over back to the library. So my background's in each, so I tend to kind of I still have a foot in the Centre for Teaching and Learning, but the rest of my body's in the library right now.
Excellent. So the question I am asking everybody is, in when you have the opportunity to help create online learning spaces, how is room left for students to fill and to explore and to otherwise contribute to the space rather than just to read stuff, watch stuff, do stuff?
Sure. So I guess I'm going back more toward I have taught, but most recently I help other educators move online or for blended delivery too. So the college context is a little bit different from a lot of the folks you've had on. They're university folks and they have a bit more freedom. We find with college educators, because they're following the program standards, they're maybe a little more linear in their thinking about how they want to approach a course design and development because they have that end goal is already set for them by the ministry. So I've relied heavily on the community of inquiry approach and the Assure model. So even when you're talking about room to explore, when I'm working with faculty, I kind of actually spell it out in that. In the cognitive presence of the community of inquiry, there are four phases, and one of them is explore. So it's, trigger, explore, integrate, and resolve. So even having them map that into every activity. And in terms of exploring, I tend to leave it very open into how they explore and how they integrate. So part of that is the push with UDL is that you provide those different access points to the information. So students should also have that same flexibility in how they're demonstrating their knowledge. So we try to incorporate, one student might want to do a PSA to support, to be an advocacy for a group, say if they're working in child and youth care, they might, do a 2-minute PSA for the group, whereas another student would feel more comfortable writing a more traditional paper or an advocacy letter. But it's more setting the design, I guess the freedom's in the design, and as long as you've provided that kind of that trigger to make it relevant and get them interested, they tend to explore a little better if that freedom has already been set up.
I like it. That sounds fun. Do you have any an example of like an educator that used that kind of approach?
So I've really been interested in hypothesis for a long time and using hypothesis, especially in those larger courses where, you're trying to get people to engage. But that engagement has to be a little more structured. So whether, some instructors we've recommended maybe for a week, they facilitate the learning on the chapter, on the module, on the reading, whatever it is. And they can do that through hypothesis. It kind of they can, set the prompts, but also react to any other additions that are there. So that's, I think it's a very interesting tool. To put more responsibility and more creativity in the hands of the students versus the instructors.
Yeah, that's great. That's one of my faves. Hypothesis, good call. Well, that's great. Thank you so much for joining me for this little mini interview. It was nice to chat with you again.
Nice to chat with you.
Have a
Relatively
wonderful,
painless.
have an awesome rest of your day.
You too, Terry. Thanks. Take care.
You too.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.